Well, good morning, everyone. As John had said, spring has sprung, and unfortunately, so is my back after working in the yard all day yesterday. Some of us that are getting older have to be more careful about that, especially if we play golf. And I have a smiling little lady sitting here looking at me this morning. Well, good morning again to all of you out there on the webcast. Good to hear from each of you and see you here today. Hope you'll continue to join with us. You know, in the Bible, there are quite a few scriptures that are really well known. Probably one of the most well known is the one you see at ball games, sporting events all the time. People holding up the sign. Anybody know what that is?
John 3:16.
Got it. There's another scripture that I've seen that people have stuck on signs in their yard. Maybe you've seen that too. A very well known scripture. It's found over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. And it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." You know, in this same vein, I think we all know this, but just to reiterate it and repeat it, God is not a deaf mute. He hears us. And He speaks to us. Well, not maybe in the same way He spoke to a very young man named Samuel many years ago. You're probably, again, familiar with the verse in 1 Samuel chapter 3 when Samuel has only been there for a while and he hears a voice calling him and he answers back to the voice. I think if you're familiar with, again, you remember the story. Samuel thought Eli had called him. So he went into Eli and said, "You know, here I am." He said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Well, it happened three times. And finally, on the last time, Eli said, "You know, I think God's trying to get in touch with you. Go back. And when He calls, tell Him that you're there." Well, that's what Samuel did. I think you're, again, familiar with the story. What is possibly the most memorable line? This is a question. This is on the test today. What is probably or possibly the most memorable line from the early chapters of the book of Revelation? It's repeated to all seven churches. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Do we have an ear? Everybody got your ears? Check them. Everybody got two? Okay. Do we hear with those ears? Do we listen with those ears? There's also a scripture or a phrase that Christ used very frequently throughout the New Testament. The first example of it, I think, is found in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, what is all this emphasis on listening and hearing? Well, let's go on and find out. Do we have ears to hear when God speaks to us? Now, we have ears. We've already established that. Everybody's reached up and checked, and we still have both of them that were put there from our birth. And I will grant to each of you that having ears to hear may not always be as easy as it was possibly for Samuel. Now, Samuel, the first two times, he didn't know who was calling him, but he thought it was Eli, and he was answering Eli when actually it was God. But he heard a voice. I mean, he actually heard a voice. Now, there are people who say they talk to God, and that God talks to them and God tells them things. When they tell me that, I begin to start backing up a little bit. I'm like an old crawdad. I got to go find that hole and back up and get down inside of it. I'm afraid something's coming. Because most have not heard voices. May have heard voices, but I don't think it was God's. But when God does speak to us, are we possibly hindered from hearing Him because of what you might call spiritual deafness? I got this little girl sitting here looking at me. I'm going to have a hard time going through this sermon today because she's just smiling as big as she can be and even talking to me. So I'll just let her get up here and sit right up here and she can do everything. Is it possible that sometimes that we can actually close our minds to the possibility of God speaking to us? Gideon did. If you remember the story of Gideon, it's found over in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and beginning in verse 12. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this that has befallen us, happened to us? And where be all the miracles which our father told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and has delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in all of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, Gideon says to God, if now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you will talk with me. I would think by then Gideon's beginning to test God's patience a little bit. He's saying, what more do I have to do? The response to Gideon may possibly be somewhat familiar to possibly some of us. It was as if Gideon was saying, who, me? You want me to do that? It was sort of like Moses in one sense of the word. That's been a characteristic response. Years and years and years ago, some of the very first messages I spoke was me trying to find out from God, why me? Why did you call me? What do you want with me? What am I supposed to be doing? And I titled some of them, I think, something like, who, me? Maybe each of us has at some time in our life asked that question. Why me? Gideon, in effect, reacted in disbelief. It was as if a Gideon said, who me? He didn't see himself as important. You notice in the scriptures, it says that exactly. He says, I am the least in my father's house. I'm not important. There are others that are more important than me. And we are a very minor family. My family is the poor family in Manasseh. He keeps putting himself down as to how bad he is, how poor he is, how untalented, how unavailable, you might say, he is. So he then asked God for a sign that it was really God speaking to him. You're sort of wondering why God didn't just go, zoop, that take care of the whole deal. He desired him out. And, but at the same time, I don't think Gideon doubted God that he could or would speak. It was just a type of doubt that he would speak to him, because he didn't think that he had any importance. There were other people more important, more people more capable, more people around that could do the job. Now, is that humility or possibly some type of a form of closed-mindedness as to what God is seeking to do in our lives? Is it possible that you and I could ever close our minds or would close our minds to the possibility of God speaking to us? Now, you'll have to answer that question yourself. Now, closed-mindedness can take several forms. There is the who-me category that we'll put Gideon into. And Gideon reacted in the form of disbelief that God would talk to him, not again because, he didn't think God would speak, but it was to him. And he kept saying, why me? You look at all the biblical examples of God speaking. He spoke to kings, he spoke to prophets, he spoke to the apostles, he spoke to many in the Bible. But at the same time, God also spoke to Cain. Is Cain considered one of the leading principles in the Bible? He spoke to Eliphaz in Job chapter 42 and verse 7, one of Job's good buddies that were counseling him on all of his problems that he had. He spoke to Ananias. The problem with Ananias and what happened there. He also spoke to Ahijah, who is a minor prophet. It's only mentioned in the story of Jeroboam. He spoke to Manoah, the father of Samson. He spoke to a lot of people other than what we might call or identify as important people in the Bible. So why did Gideon say, who, me? And have we ever possibly said, in whatever stage of our life or the situation may be, who, me? No matter how small, how insignificant, how untalented we may think we are, we can know of our life. not hear an audible voice, as some have said they have heard. But remember a couple of scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As we're leading up into the days of unleavened bread, Passover season, are we aware of these scriptures that God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him, those that believe that He really is? Do we really believe what it says over in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 9? And He says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now that's a promise from God. Now I'm not going to try to qualify that or explain it in the sense of it's the written word of God. And we each have to understand sometimes maybe our prayers, our thoughts may not be exactly in accordance at that particular time with God's will. But at the same time, this is a promise that God says that He will give if we seek, and we shall find if we seek Him. This is our Father who cares about us, who cares about the details of our lives, that is aware of the difficulties that we go through when we stumble and we stop and we fall sometimes. But God will speak to us if we are listening. So don't ever say, who, me? Because we're all just as important to God. Every single one of us have the same importance to Him as one of His children. Now, another reason we might possibly miss communicating from God is that it does not come in the exact manner that we expect it to. In John chapter 12, verse 28, it says, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it said, it thundered. Now, you remember back in Exodus chapter 20, when Moses had gone up to get the commandments, and he came down to present them to the people. He goes on to say in Exodus 20, the voice of God was compared by the people to thunder. And if you remember, one of the things that they said was, let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now, I can only imagine, there's a song written about that, I can only imagine what that must have been like at that day with God literally thundering out His words to those people who were probably quaking in their boots. I think I would have been. I think my knees would have been weak, and I might could have not even have stood. Because it's not an unusual situation. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 14, it says, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. From the very earliest of times throughout the Bible, God's voice has been likened unto thunder. Now, every time it thunders, that doesn't mean that's God speaking. I'm not saying that, so don't get me wrong there. Because it thunders and lightens a lot around East Texas, especially during the springtime. But have we built up possibly preconceived expectations of a spectacular form for God's voice, that if He should speak to us a little more subtle than with thunder, that we might miss it? I think we're all familiar with the scripture concerning when God spoke to Elijah. If you remember the story, he was fleeing from Jezebel. Jezebel was hot on his trail. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11, he had gone up on the mountain alone. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake came. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. In verse 12, and after the earthquake, there was fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, and you're probably way ahead of me here, a still, small voice. And God spoke to him. Just as Elijah heard God, not in the thunder, not in the strong wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in a still, small voice. For those who trust, for those who seek God, we must be alert, not just to the thunder, but to a speaking in a possibly a still, small voice. What happened to Paul when he was on his way to Damascus, when a burning bush, in effect, was talking to him, if you want to make an alliteration there. You know, there are other examples in the past of things even getting maybe a little bit weird with God speaking. Remember in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 28, it says that the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and the ass spoke unto Balaam. Now, that's not one of the things that I would be looking for, some horse coming up to me and saying something, and that was God speaking to me. In fact, I think I would doubt that, if I'm honest. But who's the ass in that particular case, maybe? This was obviously a very, you know, isolated case. But we can sometimes miss the message that God has for us because of presumptions about the way and the messenger is going to come. I don't know how He's going to speak to you. I don't know necessarily how He's going to speak to me. But I tell you one thing, if the Bible is the examples are a possible hint, He will probably use the person or the method that we would least likely expect and trust if we're really listening to Him. Because God does things like that, if the Bible again is any example. He doesn't always use the ordinary. He doesn't always use the expected. Possibly another reason for missing God's message to us is fear. Now, not necessarily the same kind of fear that Israel expressed in Exodus 20 when they pleaded with Moses, you know, don't let him speak to us again, we're going to die. That was, again, you've got to sort of put yourself in that situation and think just how loud, how bad that must have been. I've been in some pretty bad thunderstorms. I remember in one I came, was coming off the mountains into Denver, and there was an unbelievable thunderstorm going on. The whole sky was just lit up with lightning, and the thunder was literally shaking and rattling the car. That's the most ferocious thunderstorm I've ever been in. Although I've heard some at the house, and you've probably had that too. When it thunders, your whole house shatter, you know, shakes and rattles. You can hear things rattling in your house. That's not necessarily God talking to you, but God might say talking in the sense that the thunder is getting our attention. A fear that we might have, a dread that we might have, apprehension, a suspicion that maybe we need to change something in our life. And that may be precisely what God does. If you remember earlier, I mentioned the phrase in Revelation chapter 2 and throughout Revelation where it's mentioned to all of the churches, you know, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He mentions it in the message to each of the churches. After praising their virtues, then rebuking them for their sins in the story, and then warning them, he always concluded with the promise of salvation to him that overcomes. For he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. After doing all this, I think each of us in taking and using that example need to remember some scriptures like one found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, every one of you have been through a trial of some kind or another in your life. Was it at the time you were going through it a light affliction? No. In most cases, it was a heavy affliction. I think of a couple of specific instances in my own life that I thought, this is the end of me. Not physically, but you know. But when it was all over with, God had seen me through it, and looking back on it, it was a light affliction. It was nothing to it in one sense of the word. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in each of us. That's the end picture. That's the end. That's what's going to come with that reward. That God is a rewarder of those who seek Him and listen to Him. You know, over the years, I think the people of God may have had trouble hearing God, potentially because of pride, maybe self-confidence, maybe a little self-righteousness. But all are a form of thinking that we have things, in effect, under control, and we don't need for God to communicate with us. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 6, there's a scripture where God is describing those people that He will cut off. And He says, "And those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him." Hopefully that does not describe any of us, for those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. And another example, during the time of Isaiah, Judah was threatened by Assyria, if you remember the story. Instead of seeking God, they made a pact, an alliance with Egypt. And God, through Isaiah, went down to talk to them and called upon them to trust in Him. But their response was in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 16. They said, "No, for we will flee upon horses. We will ride upon the swift." God's answer, "Okay, you can do that. But your enemies will ride faster horses. And they will overtake you. And they will destroy you." Again, you know, not handling that way, that particular situation in the best way. How did God then show His compassion, even when Judah had forsaken Him? It's found in verse 21. It's a familiar message. "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk you in it.'" Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of us have possibly heard that message? Subtly, maybe in something else that happened in our lives, "This is the way, walk you in it." This has been God's message to His people from the very beginning. But you know, sometimes we can, like Judah, let ourselves, our pride, get in the way, and we miss the message that God has for us. Back in 1 Samuel, if you remember again the message that from Gideon. I'm sorry, I'm skipping back to a different part. In 1 Samuel, when God was talking with Samuel, and He was talking to Saul, and He tells him in verse 15, chapter 23, He says, "For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you." Sometimes we can miss God's voice because our heart may be in rebellion. We have possibly hardened our heart. When we, like a stubborn and rebellious child, when we turn our backs on God, preferring to do things, you know, our way, "I can handle it, I can do it, I can handle that," then maybe our ears have grown deaf to His voice. But when God, through Zechariah, tried to instruct the nation of Judah, and over in Zechariah, again, chapter 7 and verse 11, He says, "They refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped up the ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words of which the Lord of hosts had sent in His Spirit." You know, that's so easy to do. You see that story repeated time and time again in the story of Israel, how they reacted to God. And, you know, the words in God's Word are not always positive in the sense that they give us a positive example to learn from. Sometimes they are negative in the sense of how we should not conduct ourselves under these circumstances. Remember a scripture. Again, some of these scriptures I'm giving to you to remember, you might want to write them down. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous." How many of us, especially growing up as kids, when we had mom or dad pull out the ruler, the switch, the belt, whatever it was. In my particular case, and I think I've told this story before, my godparents lived across the street from us, and they had a big old willow tree. And I had to go across the street and cut my own switch out of that willow tree. And as I told the story before, I killed that tree. But anyway, is it possible that maybe we let these things happen and that we don't hear? Hebrews chapter 12 and 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Another scripture in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father. All the things that we have, all the blessings that we have received. And I know you've heard things like this before, but have you ever stopped sometimes and just taken the time in a quiet moment to sit down and really think over your life, of all the opportunities, all the blessings that have come your way? It can be a pretty refreshing situation. At least in my particular case, it has been anyway. It's something I'm very, very thankful for all the many opportunities and blessings that have come my way. But you know, again, one of the most obvious barriers that we as God's people can have in hearing His voice is also a matter of lifestyle. The busyness, as it were, of life. Sometimes I watch people, you see things on television, and everything is so wrapped up in life. From the time they get up in the morning, if you got kids that got to get prepared for school or go off to work, then you're there at school or work all day long, then you come home and it's getting ready for supper that night, then getting the homework done or getting ready for school the next day. And the day's gone. I mean, just from the time the sun comes up till the time the sun goes down, it's nothing but busyness in our life and going on. That happens and is easy to happen. We don't ever want to be, though, or find ourselves in the situation that is typified in Matthew chapter 22. If you remember again the story of those who were invited to the marriage feast. In verse 5 it says, "But they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise." And they miss the marriage. Are we maybe too busy sometimes, too much going on in our life to take the time to hear and to listen to God? Almost all of the examples that we see in God's Word, when He has spoken to those who have heard and have listened to His voice, or when they were alone. I'll give you a couple of examples. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, and speaking of Christ, see, He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. We gave the example earlier of Elijah when he went on Mount Horeb to hear God. It was in 1 Kings chapter 19. He was all alone. When Moses went alone up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. If you remember when Peter was on the roof praying by himself, when a voice came down from heaven in Acts chapter 10 and told him, you know, what was going to happen. It seems like when people are alone, and I can't speak for any of you, I can only speak for myself. But some of the times I have felt the closeness and the closest I could get to God was when I was sitting on top of a mountain in Colorado. Sitting on top of a rock, just gazing. I'm 10,000 feet closer in one sense of the word from sea level, but I'm not talking about that. It's just the feeling that comes over me in looking around at His creation and just soaking all that in and just meditating on it. I've spent some of the most enjoyable times in my life in doing that. And it's one of the reasons I've liked to go to Colorado so much, whether it's hunting or fishing or backpacking or whatever. It's just a time when I feel a closeness that I can't explain. But when you and I, individually and collectively as a part of the body of Christ, make time regularly for prayer, for meditation, for Bible study, for fasting, and worship like we are today, coming here on the Sabbath day, to spend time with one another, but especially to spend time with God, we open up, in effect, an avenue for God to speak to us. Do we hear? Do we have ears to hear? Even when we are alone, we must focus. We must open up, as it were, and to learn that sometimes we need to just be quiet. and get away from the busyness of life and all the clatter that goes on sometimes. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, who has even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." And another scripture over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, "The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools." Think about that. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. I said earlier, and I'll repeat it again, God is not a deaf mute. He hears us and he will speak to us. But we must listen. The young man Samuel gave us a really good model. It took him three times after Eli finally told him to go and listen for God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place." In verse 10, it says, "And the Lord came." He was opening his ears to hear. When can we, maybe like Samuel, eager to hear God, we remove all the barriers that can sometimes creep into our life, even unawares, that will sometimes keep us from hearing? Can we, like Samuel, say, as he said in verse 13, after God spoke to him, "Speak, for your servant is listening."